Good evening, friends. Hey, welcome to another edition of the Antique Phonograph Music Program. It's me, your host, Mac, here in the studio once again. Me and the Victrola, cranking up some tunes for you. Tonight is a show of all 12-inch records. So I rolled the Victrola down here into Studio A. It's a little better for the 12-inch records because the Victor 4 horned machine that I use has a 10-inch turntable. And the Victrola has a 12-inch turntable, so that works out better for the support of the 12-inch records. And you have a 10-inch platter and 12-inch records. Sometimes the edge of the record, it's overhanging, and it could touch on the speed control or get a little wobble to it. But the Victrola is much more steady, so we're using that tonight. We started off there with a piece written by Anton Rubinstein, the great Russian composer, called Monastery Bells, or Kamennoi Ostro, about some little rocky island where he grew up, idealized in Russian classical music. There in a 1915 Columbia record, played by Prince's Orchestra. And while we're having a moment of classical music, this is a familiar theme. And the use of this theme seems to mostly have came into use when one of Queen Victoria's children, I believe, used it for their wedding. So then it became hugely popular. So here's Mendelssohn's Wedding March, done by Arthur Pryor's band on a Victor record. A few incarnations of this, but I think it was from about 1907. Okay, here we go. Thank you. Okay, right? That's one that's familiar to everybody. But, you know, why not play it in one of these old forms? Because that's what I do here on this show. Give you the old form of it. And it's a lovely little theme. Lovely, lovely. Okay. Moving on now to our next artist, who was born Georgia Mae Campbell, but pretty much known as Miss Mae Irwin, one of the great songstresses of the aughts of the last century. Got her start in the 1890s with her sister, who's one of the singing Irwins. And eventually went out on her own, became huge, and made quite a few Victor Talking Machine records. And her big thing was being a coon shouter. That was her big, where she performed African-American influence songs. And her big song from the 1895 show, The Widow Jones, she introduced was The Bully, which became her signature song. So here it is on a 1907 Victor recording. Let's change this needle. Change of needle, change of needle. Okay, here we go.
And heard about that bully that jumped from the town. He's down among the niggers, laying the body down. I'm looking for that bully and he must have gone. I'm a Tennessee nigger and I don't allow no red-eyed river roosevelt with me to raise law. I'm a looking for that bully and I'll make him fall.
Thank you.
Okay. That's what May Irwin did. Most of her songs were doing that kind of character. That was her thing. Yep. All right. Continuing now with a spoken word piece, which is a monologue from Mr. Raymond Hitchcock, who was mostly a silent film actor, but he made some records. This one is from 1914. It's a recitation called Mr. Hitchcock's Curtain Call. If I recall, it's somewhat about his own thing. I don't remember. I haven't played this one for a while. Oh, well, you know how it is here. Let's listen together.
Ladies and gentlemen, it requires very little applause to bring me out here. The dropping of a nickel on a plush sofa being sufficient noise to bring me bounding to the footlights. And I account for this in a most natural way, for it is human nature to desire to do that which we are least qualified to do. Hence my willingness to come right out here and talk on any subject, whether I know anything about it or not. I, however, have a reasonable excuse for my awkward inability to thank you tonight. The income tax law, with its vagueness, its ramifications, its far-reaching penalties, have so filled my mind that I could think of nothing else until a Swede explained it to me. I think a Swedish mind is so direct on such matters. It seems the income tax law was gotten up by the Democrats to annoy the Republicans, and the first victim of their venom is a man earning $3,000 a year. Up to that point, the government considered any man a safe, sound, sensible citizen. But with an earning capacity of $3,000 a year, he instantly becomes a suspicious character, and a watch is set upon him in the shape of an income tax law. And he is taxed an eighth of a tenth of a sixteenth of what he had before he started. Take the number of the house in which he lives, add it to that, multiply by six, divide by seven, add two, and you have the exact amount the man must pay or go to jail. Now, with that point established and clearly in mind, we take up the next issue, which is a man earning $4,000 a year, married to a blonde girl, one child, blonde wife, $4,000 a year salary. The government, realizing that it cost this man something to keep his wife a blonde year in and year out, make a reasonable reduction for that. They also say in their gracious wisdom that one child is liable to happen to any married couple, so a generous reduction is made for that. But if they have the second child, says the government, and he has taxed twice what they threw off to keep his wife a blonde, added to that which they so generously reduced for the first child, multiplied by two, and so on, doubling and redoubling itself for each offense until I figured it out. Same man, blonde wife, and nine children, in excess to his $4,000, would owe the government $253. But if he is bereft of the wife and the nine children during the year, the government rebates $6, which is pretty darn nice on the part of any government, for they usually keep it all. Ladies and gentlemen, I am going to run for President of the United States for no particular reason whatever, except that I'll be out of work in 1916, and I just thought I'd run for President of the United States. And you'll be very glad to know that Theodore Roosevelt, who is also out of work, will run with me. And it happened oddly enough, too. He met me on the street one day, and he said, "Hitchy-coo, I understand you're going to run for President of the United States in 1916. I said, "Yes, I'll be, see." He says, "Well, of course, Hitchy-coo, if you're going to run for President of the United States, I wouldn't think of running." I said, "Theodore Roosevelt, don't you say that. Don't you dare say that." And he said, "I might just as well say it as to think it." And I said, "Well, for pity's sake, see, as long as you feel that way about it, why not be vice president along with me?" He said, "All right, I will if Bryan will let us." So we wrote to Bryan, and Bryan said he didn't care darn who ran for President of the United States. He was going to run anyway. So that was all thrashed out, and I take this opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to recommend the Colonel and myself to your earnest consideration for your support and your vote in 1916. I know the Colonel wouldn't like to have me say this, for the Colonel is so modest and so retiring and never says anything about himself, but I feel sure we would make an effective, if not efficient, pair in Washington. I sing funny songs, and the colonel goes hunting a lot. Oh, gosh, how the colonel does go hunting. In fact, he goes hunting more than I sing funny songs. In the meantime, I've worked my way back to here. Well, you see, anyone can come out there. The thing is to get back here. I've known lots of people to come right out there, happy, healthy, hopeful, and never lived to get back here, now having arrived within easy distance of the hook. I wish you all health and happiness.
I really don't know what he was talking about half the time there. He's talking about being president, but also about income tax and kids. Guys all over the place. Maybe the perfect candidate to run for president. I didn't understand what he was talking about. But maybe that's what works these days. Forget logic. That don't work. That don't work no more. No one wants to hear nothing logical. All right. Continuing now with a record on the OK label, which is OKEH. And this is before they started doing their domestic releases on the red label. A lot of them, these were being imported. And from recordings made in Europe. This one I have here is... it's hard to even read because it's... I don't know what it's called, that old German language, that old German alphabet. It's probably the teens it was recorded in. It looks like some kind of Berlin German orchestra. And from what I can make out from the name, something like Dornröschen's Brautfahrt. 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 So, it's one of these things where, until I can get someone around to read this exactly what it is, I don't exactly know what it is. So, all I know it is a record to play. So, let's play it, eh? Because that's what we do here. Okay. Change this needle.
Thank you.
Very lovely little record. Very evocative. Maybe I'll add a picture to the playlist of the label later. Because, you know, you can kind of make out some of the letters of, you know, and who's the artist and so on. It'd be good to know. OK did a lot of ethnic records with the language of the host country on them. And a lot of them made it here through people leaving Europe and coming to the U.S. and bringing their records with them. And then I find them in the trash pile when they get rid of them all. That's the way it goes. Okay. Get things a little more peppy right now. We need a little more peppiness going on. So the Victor Dance Orchestra is going to give us the great one step. It's a Victor record from 1913. But also in parentheses, this is called the Radium Dance. So everyone, dance for radium. Here we go. It's the Radium Dance. Woohoo! Thank you. Whoa. How about that for some excitement? How about for that for some pre-jazz excitement? Yeah. So like around 1915, jazz has not popped yet. It's still a couple of years away, but I love these transitional band records where the marching band, the dance orchestra, is zipping it up. They're making it all like what someone even said on the playlist page. This is from a show called Piff Paff Poof Along. That's what it feels like that record's doing. It's Piff Paff Poofing Along. Nice one. Nice one. Okay. And I'm going to hear another one from another great early band called Al Jochers Dance Orchestra. And this is a medley. More one-steppin'. And it's called The Royal Vagabond. But contained within the record are Goodbye, Bargravia, Democracy, and Now That We Are All Together. So played by Al Jochers Dance Orchestra. Here we go.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's 1919 there. So jazz has been introduced, but Jaka Brothers Dance Orchestra is still doing that dance orchestra sound. Handy's orchestra made it a little more jazzy, as did Jim Europe's records, which he did with Irene and Vernon Castle, were some really great amalgamations of, you know, steps. They were dance records. So, but even though jazz is out by 1919, I like that the Jockers Dance Orchestra still continuing that tradition. Now we're going to go to Mr. Paul Whiteman, of course. You know, I can almost say with him the beginning of sophisticated jazz. And the name of this of his band is not just Paul Whiteman and his orchestra on this one. It's Paul Whiteman and his Ambassador Orchestra. So, you know, sell it. What is that? A little bit of hyperbole? Never hurt anybody? And it can only help a presidential candidate, right? If Paul Whiteman was running for president, this might help him. So here we are on a 1920 Victor record. My Wonderful Girl and the Coral Sea. Thank you. Nice one. Nice number by Paul Whiteman and his orchestra there. Yeah, really. I think of them as really getting tight, really starting to bring that sophisticated sound. There were quite a few bands starting to do that at that point. Making jazz respectable. Yeah, that's the idea. Okay. We are now going to hear from Miss Eleonora Sarah Goldberg. I'm sure somebody said to her at some point, kid, you're going to go nowhere in that business with that name. We'll call you Nora Bays. I don't exactly know how she got her name. But, yep, one of the wonderful early singers of the aughts and the teens. Did all sorts of ethnic dialects, and along with her husband, worked on some great songs, some you might know, like Shine On Harvest Moon. She did a fantastic version of Over There for the Victor Talking Machine Company in 1917, which was a huge hit and a World War I anthem. Went on to be a World War II anthem also. Also another great one, a favorite of mine by Jack and Nora, is Turn On Your Light, Mr. Moon Man. But now we're going to hear from Nora on her own on a Victor record from 1918 called A Little Bit of Sunshine.
Of a letter makes the boy feel so much better. It's a little bit of sunshine from home. Just a bit of sunshine, a little bit of sunshine to drive the clouds away. You've got lots of time, so spend it. Light a cheery note and send it. It will help the fellow on his way. There's a pen and paper handy. Send them cigarettes and candy. Help those Yankee Doodle dandies for the home. For a friendly sort of letter makes a fellow feel much better. It's a little bit of sunshine from home.
Mm-hmm. It always makes you feel good. A little bit of sunshine from home. Very nice. All right. That's going to bring us close to the end of this edition of the Antique Phonograph Music Program. Of me doing all these 12-inch records today. Boy, I didn't realize that last one had a crack in it. Yeah, I see it now. Oh, well, we got through it, right? It's not on the other side. Well, barely. These Columbia records are, they have a cardboard core and then the laminated shellac on two sides. Unlike Victor's, which are solid, so sometimes you can get a crack on one side, not the other, but with Victor's, it usually goes straight through. Yeah, that's the way it works. Some of the idiosyncrasies of these machines tonight was the Victrola 14 that I was playing all the records on tonight, a show of all 12-inch records. And I'd like to mention that the premium item from the WFMU Marathon has gone out. If you pledged at the $75 level, you may by now have received your cardboard gramophone. And I'd seen a couple people sent me some photos of their assembled pieces. And I'd be happy to see other folks who receive this, their assembled item. And the idea is to put it together, put your iPhone under it, of my show, or some other vintage music, and then you have your own gramophone playing. There you go. So you could send those emails to mac@wfmu.org, or find me on Facebook and put it right on my Facebook page. That would be lovely. I would like to get more feedback from folks, so I welcome that. And also, let's see, what else? Oh, I don't know. Go on. You know, it's interesting. I put a picture on Instagram tonight. My Instagram name is Phonograph DJ Mac, and I found this picture of this Dutch radio station broadcasting in the early 20s. And basically, they're doing what my show is doing. They basically have the gramophone set up, and they have the microphone there, and they're playing the music through that and out onto the air. So interesting how the first days of radio and playing music are exactly like what I'm still doing. I love that. So you can see pictures like that and other things that I put up on Instagram. Phonograph DJ Mac is the name. And I'm going to leave you with one more. This is the Victor Women's Chorus doing the spinning chorus from the Flying Dutchman from Wagner. And I'll be back next week with more records again. You can write me with any questions or comments about the show at mac@wfmu.org. That's always the best way to contact me, because if you send me a wax cylinder, I'm the only one who'll be able to hear it. But then again, that's okay. So if you want to do that, I'm happy with that. I'll be back next week with more stuff. What's it going to be? I don't know, because who knows what I'll find between now and then. Either on my shelves or in some grandmother's basement or maybe some people's home who's been abandoned in their attic. I'm always out there getting dirty for you. That's right. So I'll leave you with this. And until next week, this is your host, Mac, of the Antique Phonograph Music Program, saying nighty night, everybody.
This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org.
Yeah.